KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:05, it's mostly clear and 25 degrees. We look forward to be partly to mostly sunny today, a high of 60. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Rex Pharmacy, working to improve health outcomes for patients in our communities from their new location at 1607 East 7th Street in Atlantic, the former Sears building. Two additional cases of COVID-19 have been confirmed in Shelby County. Officials said Sunday the first confirmed case of COVID-19 was on March 27th. That individual was between the ages of 61 and 80. The second confirmed case was also an individual between 61 and 80 years of age. The third was an individual between 41 and 60 years of age. Now, the Iowa Department of Public Health does not publicly release specific information regarding individual COVID-19 cases. However, when a positive case is confirmed, a thorough investigation is completed, and any individuals deemed to be at risk are notified and advised on appropriate measures to take. R2 Medical Center's Public Health Director Lori Hoke said, "We continue to remind residents to take preventative measures to slow the spread. Stay at home and limit exposure to other people. It's important to practice social distancing if you must go out for essential items." On Sunday, Iowa health officials confirmed there were at least 38 more cases of coronavirus and a fourth death. The Department of Public Health said Sunday that the state now had 336 positive cases, up from 299 on Saturday, then a total of 5,013 negative tests as of Sunday at noon. The latest death was a Linn County resident who was between the ages of 61 and 80. The virus has now been found in at least 50 of Iowa's 99 counties. The newest cases as of Sunday included 10 in Polk County, 6 in Linn County, and 4 each in Johnson and Dubuque counties. Late Sunday afternoon, officials at the Crawford County Home Health, Hospice, and Public Health said that a positive case of COVID-19 had been confirmed in a county resident in Crawford County. The patient is an adult between the ages of 61 and 80, and no other information was released. For most people, the new coronavirus causes mild or moderate symptoms that clear up in 2 to 3 weeks. Governor Kim Reynolds said surgical abortions are included in her temporary ban on elective and non-essential surgeries to preserve medical supplies in the midst of a pandemic.
Making sure that we have the personal protective equipment to take care of those Iowans who are on the front line serving Iowans and those in need, to make sure that we have our health care providers and our first responders healthy so that they can take care of Iowans.
The governor's proclamation put a halt to all scheduled elective and non-essential surgeries in Iowa until April 16th.
Everyone is making sacrifices. Everyone.
And Planned Parenthood officials say they are assessing the governor's action. The organization is suing Texas over a similar order that bans medication abortions as well as surgical abortions. Current Iowa law bans abortions after 20 weeks in pregnancy unless the procedure is necessary to save the life of the mother. Well, the Ringgold County Sheriff's Office reports three men were arrested Sunday for witness tampering. The charges against Chase Hunter Doolittle, Craven Lee Martin, and Devin Michael Russo pertain to an incident that occurred in an area of rural Mount Air. All three men were being held in the Ringgold County Jail until seen by a magistrate. The National Weather Service says the Adams County Emergency Management Coordinator reported over the weekend damage from a tornadic storm that fired up quickly and rapidly moved northeastward Saturday afternoon. The tornado damage occurred just after 2 p.m. about 5 miles southeast of Bridgewater near the Adams-Adair County line. Officials say two machine sheds were destroyed at a farmstead, but fortunately no one was injured. Television stations in Cedar Rapids said officials in Fayette County reported damage to the communities of Olwine, Hazelton, Fairbank, and Littleton yesterday. Severe storms damaged an apartment building in northeastern Iowa Saturday night, knocked out power lines in the area. As we mentioned, a tornado was spotted in Olwine that tore off part of a wall of a 12-unit apartment building and damaged the siding of a second building in the complex. Olwine police said there were no serious injuries reported. Fayette County Sheriff Marty Fisher said the storm knocked down branches and power lines elsewhere in Olwine and rural parts of the county. Residents of the apartment complex whose homes were damaged sought shelter in a nearby hotel. Tornado was also reported Saturday afternoon just before 6 p.m., 4 miles east of Hudson. That storm spotter reported a grain bin and outbuildings in that area were destroyed. Also, at around 5:40 p.m., a tornado was observed 5 miles south of Hudson in Blackhawk County. That was confirmed by law enforcement and social media. Thunderstorm wind damage was reported 4 miles southeast of Dyke in Grundy County at around 5:37 p.m., with a machine shed having been destroyed. Also, about the same time, hail ranging in size from dime to half dollars fell near Manson in Calhoun County. At around 5:30 p.m. Saturday, quarter to ping pong ball size hail fell in Rockwell City for about 10 minutes. 4:30 p.m., penny-sized hail was reported Saturday near Ventura in Cerro Gordo County. A brief tornado touchdown occurred 2 miles south-southwest of Rhodes in Marshall County. That was reported by a storm chaser at around 4:26 p.m. on Saturday. And a non-thunderstorm wind gusts at automated site near Lamoni around 3:54 p.m. And as we've already reported, that tornado, that were actually the storm damage that occurred southeast of Bridgewater Saturday as well. In the funeral announcements, Edwin Robert Lippincott, age 76, of Bellevue, Nebraska, died Thursday at Bergen Mercy Medical Center in Omaha. Graveside services with CDC-recommended social distancing for Edwin Lippincott will be Wednesday at 2 o'clock at the Layton Township Cemetery in Walnut. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Betty Marie Traylor, age 94, of Atlantic, died Friday at the Heritage House. Private graveside services will be held for Betty Traylor in the Atlantic Cemetery. Hockenberry Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. Helen Linen, age 87, of Harlan, died Friday at the Elmcrest Retirement Community. Private family funeral services will be held for Helen Linen at the Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. William Bill Hosek, age 866, of Harlan, died Saturday in Harlan. A celebration of life service for Bill Hosek will be held at a later date. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home is in charge of the arrangements. Jacqueline Jackie Hodgkin, age 54, of Atlantic, died Friday in her home. Cremation will take place, and a celebration of life for Jackie Hodgkin will be held at a later date. Hockenberry Funeral Home of Atlantic is in charge of the arrangements. Arl Brown, age 96, of Anita and formerly the Berea area, died Friday at Caring Acres Nursing and Rehab in Anita. Per her request, cremation will take place, and there will be no viewing or services for Arl Brown. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic has the arrangements. Marilyn Ersham, age 92, of Greenfield, died Sunday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Funeral services for Marilyn Ersham are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. Madeline McCall, age 98, of Bridgewater, died Sunday at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Services for Madeline McCall are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle. And Glenn Livingston, age 70, of Atlantic, died Friday. Services for Glenn Livingston are pending at the Roland Funeral Service. The news was brought to you by Rex Pharmacy, working to improve health outcomes for our patients in our communities. From their new location at 1607 East 7th Street in Atlantic, the former Sears Building, I'm Rick Hansen reporting.